sister. And Jacob kind of sort of got on to him about it, mostly out of fear that he was afraid that the other nations in Canaan might come after him. And in that day and time, some of these other nations were much larger than Jacob's family and his servants. And one thing you remember also in this, they took the women and the young and the servants and everybody from that city that they destroyed, the ones they had killed the men in. We'll see a little bit more about that today in this chapter, not much, but there is a little bit of a reference to that. Jacob continues on his journey back home. And I say home, but it's back to his father and mother's, where they're at. They're still sojourning in the land of Canaan. They have not taken the land, of course. That doesn't happen until much, much later in Genesis. After the Exodus, when Joshua is their leader, much later, many generations later. But this morning we're going to look at Jacob returning to a place he's been before to worship God. And then we also will see the deaths of his favorite wife, Rachel, the one that he loved the most, and his father, Isaac. So there's a lot in this one chapter that's talked about. We'll try to get through all of it this morning. A lot of things that we'll see that it's told here that you'll see talked about again later, in a few generations later, in Israel itself. And so we'll get to those when we can. In chapter 35 and verse 1, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother." So if you remember the story there, when Jacob left to go to Haran to find a wife, he was fleeing from his, not only was he going to find a wife, but he's also fleeing his brother Esau. They had had words, and all because Jacob had stolen his birthright, Esau's birthright, and the blessing from his father. If you go back to chapter 28, in verses 10 through 22, you see the dream that Jacob had at Bethel. And that's where he originally named the place Bethel, because he had remember, he had stopped there and had taken some pillows, some stones and made a pillow, and actually used those stones as a pillar, as a reminder of that place. And so when he came back from Haran, he stopped there at the same place because it was sacred to him. It was a place that he had stopped and worshipped God before. So, and if you remember, that's the story of his the dream he had of what we know as Jacob's ladder. So back in chapter 35, we see Jacob and his family, his servants, everything, everyone that's with him, all their animals, God instructs Jacob to go back to Bethel. And so it's on the way to where his mother and father are. "Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Now, it's not just, remember, I said before, that it's not just his household that he started out with when he left Laban. It's also all those who he had taken from when they had slew Hamor and Shechem. It's all those women that they had taken with them. Now they're, I don't know if you would consider them servants or slaves. Anyway, they've taken some of those folks with them. And he says, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us rise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. Now, if you remember Rachel had stolen some false gods out of her father Laban's house? Now, it's my understanding that this is not what he's talking about here. Remember Jacob found out about that shortly after they left Laban. I don't believe Jacob would have allowed those to stay in his house at that time. So I'm going to say that he destroyed those or did something with them, got rid of them, got them out of his camp anyway, long before this. This would be, I think, the strange gods that would have come out of the city that they've just destroyed. Those women and their young that they had brought with them, of course, were false god worshippers. They weren't people of God. They respected God to a point because they knew and had seen the things with Abraham and Isaac, but they were false god worshippers, and they would have brought those false gods with them when they packed up to leave, at least some of them anyway. And he says, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. He's telling them it's time to make a change, a life change, if you will. Get rid of your false gods and clean up. Remember, they have just witnessed a battle where not much of a battle. Jacob's sons had gone in and wiped out all the men in their city. But they're to clean up and change their garments. Put your best clothes on. Why? Because they're about to go worship God. And now what we try to do when we come as a congregation to worship, we try to wear our best. We come to God and we clean up. I remember my grandparents' generation, the men especially, were farmers, most of them. Their practice was they took a bath Saturday night. Didn't matter if they needed it or not. They took a bath Saturday night before they got ready to go to church on Sunday. That's in the Western world, that was a practice for that reason. Some say it's based on things like this, stories like this in the Bible. Maybe it is. But he tells them to clean up, to be clean and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel. Why are they going to Bethel? To worship God. And I will make there an altar unto God. Why is it Jacob? Because he's the head of the house. He's the one who's going to lead in the worship. Who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. What day of distress is he talking about? When he fled from Esau. That so far in his life, that has been his greatest time of distress, was when his brother threatened to kill him. Again, he's distressed here because he's thinking that the other nations inside Canaan are going to come after him also. So it's another time of distress, but not as distressed as his own brother coming after him. And was with me in the way which I went. Well, remember, God was with him. God let him know he was with him in his journey from the time he left his mother and father's house to the time he got to Laban's. God showed him several times that he was with him, let him know that he was there. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. So they take all their false gods. These earrings of that he talks about here. You know, Jacob could have, you know, there's been times in Israel's past where they would have melted those down and made false gods out of them. What'd he do? He buries them with the other false gods. What these earrings were, obviously they were in their ears, but I don't know if they were part of the false god worship. He lumps them in there with it, so I would assume so. So they take these and he hides them under the oak, which was by Shechem. And there's all kinds of stories out there about this oak. So don't pay no attention to those, mostly. He tells us here where it was, which was by Shechem. Is it still there today? Probably not. Some say it is, but this has been several thousand years ago, so probably not. But it's not a thing to worship, certainly. And there's things like this in the Scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, where the Lord talks about some of these things that they left behind, like a pillar or this oak tree he mentions here. He mentions other trees. Be careful of these things, because a lot of people will try to worship these things. They'll make idols out of them. And so be careful of those things. This is not any special place. This is just where he buried some idols, some false gods. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Why do you think that is? Because Jacob did what God told him to do. Remember, he was greatly outnumbered in the land. These other cities could have, well, from what Jacob said in the last chapter, at least two of them had bigger armies than he had. If they all banded together, certainly they could have totally wiped him out. And there'd been nobody left, or taken them all captive, and they'd been slaves. But the Lord protected them. Why? Well, because he built an altar and worshiped God. And before they built the altar, though, remember, they got rid of all the false gods in the camp, even from those who were not believers. They got rid of the false gods. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. So he had already named this place. It wasn't named, he didn't name it at this time. He had already named it there when he had fled from Esau. Remember, at least it appears as though right now him and Esau have a truce. They are friendly towards each other, the last we saw of the two. But there was a time when they weren't. And he built an altar there, called the place El Bethel. And remember the last time he was here? He didn't build an altar. He prayed to God. God came to him in a dream. But why didn't he build an altar before? He didn't have anything to sacrifice, did he? Remember, he was traveling on foot by himself. He had no proper sacrifice. This time, he's got herds and flocks. He can take his pick from the ones that he wants and worship God properly now. So that's what he does. Verse 8, but Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Alon Bethuth. Now, why this is mentioned here, I don't know. This is the last time you see Deborah mentioned. If you remember, she was Jacob's mother's nurse back several chapters back. She had come from Laban's house when Rebekah left Laban and went to marry Isaac. She was with Rebecca when she bare her children. She helped Rebecca raise her children. There's nothing said about her leaving Rebecca and going with Jacob all the time that he was traveling by himself. And certainly Rebecca would not have sent her nurse, a woman especially, by herself to go see Jacob in Laban's house. So at some point, this woman, it appears anyway, went back to Laban and was now traveling back to see Rebecca, or for all we know, maybe she was with Esau and he dropped her off. We don't know. There's not enough information here. So I hate to guess on that, but just know that for whatever reason, Deborah, a very good friend of the family, she's like family to Jacob. She has helped raise Jacob when he was younger, and now she passes away, and he has her buried here at Bethel. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And Padan Aram, remember, is the land where Laban was, Haran. And God said unto him, "Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name." And he called his name Israel. Now we saw that back a few chapters back also. God has already done this. He's already told Jacob that his name from now on is going to be Israel. This is just a reminder. And so whenever you see the name Israel in the rest of this story during Jacob's life anyway, and you'll see even into the New Testament sometimes Jacob is referred to as Israel because that's the name God gave him. God has changed his name. And remember, this is nothing different with God. He changed Peter's name. He changed Paul's name. There's others throughout the scriptures that the Lord gave them a different name. Usually it was because they were given a name by their parents and God gave them something different to do in their life. Like Paul, he went from being a good faithful Jew to being a Christian and the apostle to the Gentiles. God changed his name. So, if this is nothing different with God, nothing new with God, but just know that you'll see both names referred to from now on, Jacob and Israel, and it's talking about the same person. And you'll also note that the name Israel is the name of the nation of God, the nation Israel. The nation of Israel, the God's people. Why? Because they are descendants of Jacob. They're not just descendants of Abraham and Isaac, but specifically of Jacob. Because remember, Abraham had other lines of descendants. Isaac, the same thing. Isaac had a different line. But Jacob, his sons would be the 12 tribes, the beginning of the 12 tribes of Israel. So Jacob is truly Israel now. Now, remember his 12th son's not born yet, but we're about to get to that. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and things shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it, and thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he had talked to him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where he spake with God, Bethel. So this is all just a reminder of what's already happened. God prophesied this and told Jacob all this on his journey to see Laban to find a wife. And we get a refresher here of what has already happened. and what has already been said. So Jacob knows the prophecy. We know for sure. This is not the first time he's heard it. He, even through all his trials and tribulations and sufferings that he's gone through, and all those times that he had doubts, you know, there's been several times where, just like Abraham and Isaac, there were times where, even though they knew God's promise, they still had doubts. They still doubted God. There was times where they thought they were about to be killed, knowing that God wasn't through with them yet. Do we have that today? Not the same way they did. I don't believe we should fear death, because I believe we know where we're going to go. But we don't know if God's done with us yet or not. I don't know that he maybe he reveals it to us at the time of death. I don't know. I've heard some people say that. Maybe so, but in their day and time, and especially with Jacob, his 12 sons not born yet. God's already told him you're going to have a great nation, and you're going to have, you know, this number of sons. There's going to be these number of tribes. God's already laid all this out to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They know the whole story, or as much of it as they can understand anyway. So they have no reason to fear death, because God's not done with him yet. Verse 16, and they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. Midwife is trying to be positive in this matter. Being a midwife, and especially in those times being skilled as a midwife, you got to think that she knew things weren't good here. But she's trying to be an encouragement to the mother, to Rachel. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoniah, but his father called him Benjamin. So we see Rachel passes away in during childbirth, or shortly thereafter. She gives him a name, but Jacob, or Israel, however you want to call him, he's still called Jacob in the rest of this chapter. Jacob gives him the name Benjamin because that's the name God gave him. That's where that comes from. From what I understand, the name Benjamin means the one on the right, or on the right hand. And so Rachel dies, and Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. So she dies at Bethlehem. And where do we know that town from? The birth of Christ, of course. Some of the older writers especially say that this place where Jacob's herds are now resting while this is all going on is very possibly the same place that the shepherds were at the time Christ was being born. That's just a little interesting tidbit to throw out there, but that is kind of interesting. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. Now we see where the tradition of placing a headstone comes from Jacob placing a pillar upon the grave of Rachel. And Rachel journeyed and spread, and Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the tower of Edar. And it came to pass, when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. Now, a great wrong's been done here. Jacob's oldest son, Reuben, has committed adultery with his father's, one of his father's concubines, who was his wife, who he was married, his own mother's servant, if you remember, handmaiden. And that's all it says. Nothing. We see where Israel or Jacob has heard about it, but nothing said about it. Nothing other than that. Now, I've mentioned this before in this story. There's times where there's not much said about a matter, especially a sin that happens. But later on, you see where things happen to certain people because of these sins. Same thing with what happened with Dinah, their sister. With Jacob cheating his brother out of his everything, Jacob has troubles the rest of his life because of it. There's other things, and we'll see those as we come to them. But Reuben, Reuben, this is not forgotten about. We don't see much about it right here, but in the coming chapters, we will, because that doesn't exclude Reuben from God's prophecy as far as being one of the nations of, or one of the tribes of Israel. But there are other ways that he pays for it. He says, now the sons of Jacob are 12. So he has his family is complete according to God's prophecy. The sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun, the sons of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin, the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, and I said Leah's handmaid earlier, but she was Rachel's handmaid, Dan, and Naphtali, and the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, which were born to him in Paddan Aram. Now, one of the things I noticed here too is he's just lost Rachel in childbirth. And now his oldest son has committed adultery with her handmaid, the handmaid that she had given him. You got to think that Jacob, this is very much grieved him. And possibly that's why nothing else is said here. Because of his grief over all of this, he just has no reaction. At the time anyway, because of what's happened. He's already grieving the death of his favorite wife. And now his son has done this with another one of his wives. So, a lot. Right now, Jacob's got a lot on his plate. So, in verse 27, and Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 104 years, 180 years old. We can't even imagine living 180 years old today, could we? I don't want to think about living that long, to be honest. but he was a very active man. We saw that with Isaac and Abraham both were very active. Also remember, how old was Isaac when Jacob was born? He was 60 years old, if you remember the story. So how old does that make Isaac? I mean, how old does that make Jacob? At this time, he's 120 years old. So Jacob's not a young man himself. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. So Isaac has lived a good, fruitful life, good, faithful life, faithful to the Lord. And he's buried, it says, with his people. So in other words, he was the tradition is that he was buried with his parents, Abraham and Sarah, in the same tomb as they were. They had a family plot, if you will. They had bought land, remember? Abraham had bought property there for a burial plot for his family. And notice Esau and Jacob, at least at this time, are still friendly enough with each other that they can come together and bury their father. They've put their differences aside for now. They will come back eventually. But they, for now, they put them aside to bury their father. Next time, in the next chapter, is a lot of generational things with Esau. I'm not going to go through and read all these names. We may touch the highlights of some of these and tell how some of these tie into things that are going on today. And we may, with that being said, if it doesn't take that long to do that, we may get into chapter 37 also at the same time. But I think we've got enough of just looking at some of these descendants of Esau and with what has taken place in Israel's past and what's taking on now and possibly what will happen in their future with some of these other descendants of Jacob. Isaac, and see where some of these come from and where they are today. So we'll stop there.